Hello, friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus right here on WMAF. We're so glad to be with you today. We pray that this has been a blessed week, but even if it's been one of the worst weeks of your life, we pray that you will know the blessing of God's peace, God's presence, God's power. He can help you through anything that you are facing. There's nothing too hard for Him. Sometimes it's hard for us to trust in Him as we should to experience His peace, but there is absolutely nothing too hard for God. And He loves you today, friend. If there's anything the Bible teaches clearly, concisely, consistently, and over again, it is that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that not one of us would perish, but that all of us would have everlasting life. The Scripture said it's not His will that any perish, but that all have everlasting life. So I want you to know that you are loved today, and God didn't just talk the talk. He gave His Son. Christ went to the cross and was raised from the dead and seated at the Father's right hand. And for those of us that have received Him as our Savior, He has become our great High Priest who ever lives to make intercession for us. Praise God. So please stay tuned. You've been listening to good gospel music right here on WMAF, and we're so glad to be in this time slot. We're so glad also to be a part of others who broadcast, some of churches right there in Madison with great ministers of the gospel that are bringing the Word of God Sunday after Sunday and midweek services. If you're not in church, there's some good churches near you, and find a Bible-believing church, amen, and I know they would be so glad to see you and help you in any way that they can. We're here in an evangelistic sense. That's why I really introduced myself as Pastor Evangelist. I am pastor of the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, Florida, an affiliate of Independent Assemblies of God International. I have been in good standing since 1974, and if you do the math, we are well into our 38th year of ministry here in Tampa, Florida. But the Lord has instructed us very clearly to reach out in every possible way to everyone who will listen, and that's why we're on your radio station. And because this station streams by computer to potentially every state in the United States of America, every nation in the world, wherever anyone, anywhere on this planet is connected to the World Wide Web, they have the potential of hearing this broadcast just like you are hearing it. Praise God. So if you would like to be a media missionary, you won't have to put yourself in any kind of condition of threat. But if you know someone that you feel these broadcasts would be a blessing to, email them. They have to be connected to the web. Tell them to type in WMAF, give them the time of the broadcast, and they can go to WMAF's homepage, and up in the right-hand corner, they can, with one click, hear exactly what you are hearing when you are hearing it. Praise God. And we just want to get the gospel out to as many people as we possibly can. If you would like to visit us on our website, just type in THCOG. It will take you to the Holy Church of God here in Tampa, Florida. And I am Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. All right. Having said that, we're discussing a great topic. This is the third in the series of the Brazen Altar. And it is an important part of our understanding of the New Covenant is to look back to the foreshadowing types of Jesus in the Old Covenant. There was, number one, a tabernacle of Moses. And if you want to read about the first piece of furniture, if you went in the gate to that tabernacle, the first piece of furniture that you would encounter is the brazen altar where the sacrifices were offered. Amen. And you can read about that in Exodus chapter 27. Now I'm going to start to review just a little bit here today. Amen. Because the brazen altar, that first piece of furniture, is a beautiful picture of something very, very distasteful, horrifying to really look at in the reality of it, and that is the cross of Christ. The reason that has become the international symbol of the Christian faith, the cross, is because of the beautiful salvation plan, of the self-sacrificing love of Christ, of the Father's generous, lavished love, in that He would give His Son, His only begotten, that we might be saved. I want to begin by saying today, before we talk about the tabernacle and the cross and their relation to one another and how it can affect you and I today, that number one, we have all sinned. The Scripture said we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and that none of us can pay our own sin debt. In other words, you can't do enough good to make up for the fact that we've sinned against a holy God. We can't tip the balance in our favor by doing more good than evil. There's only one thing, one atoning element. The Bible said without the shedding of blood, without the offering of a sacrifice, there is no sacrifice for sin. And the reason blood, I believe, was chosen, that an innocent had to die so that the guilty could go free, is so that we understand the seriousness of sin. Because we are not as holy as God, we can't possibly fully comprehend how awful and distasteful sin is to Him. But when we see in the sacrificial system a little innocent lamb having its throat cut, and the blood being sprinkled on the mercy seat, and that animal being burned, and the smoke going upward, we can begin to get a glimpse of the fact that God has to punish sin. And we can understand and appreciate grace. Grace is not sweeping our sin under the rug. It's not simply looking the other way. It is having to punish the pure and the innocent so that the guilty can go free. They understood that because it wasn't just a matter of bringing the lamb and having the priest slay it. The person who brought the lamb had to literally, in behalf of them and their family, had to place his hand upon the head of the lamb. And he understood distinctly and directly that his sin, the sin that he should be punished for, was being transferred to the lamb, and the innocent suffering for the guilty became the very foreshadowing type of what would happen when Jesus Christ went to the cross to pay the ultimate sacrifice for our sin. Ah, there's bad news and good news here. Number one, the bad news is we've all sinned. The Bible said there's none righteous, no, not one. And that we cannot pay our own sin debt. We can't do it. There's not one of us that can do anything on this earth to make ourselves worthy of heaven. We can do many things to express appreciation for what Jesus has done and what God has done for us through His Son. But none of us can pay our own sin debt. You know, the Scripture is very clear. By grace you are saved, through faith. It is the gift of God. It is not of works, lest any man should boast. No one will be in heaven boasting about their right to be there, how they merited be there. That's why grace is unmerited favor. And God has granted grace and peace to us because of what Jesus has accomplished in our behalf upon the cross. The tabernacle means tent, literally. It meant place of dwelling or sanctuary. It's a sacred place where God chose to meet His people, the Israelites, during the 40 years that they wandered in the desert under Moses' leadership. It was the place where the leaders and the people came together to worship and to offer sacrifices. It was first erected in the wilderness exactly 1 year after the Passover, when the Israelites were freed from their Egyptian slavery. That was in and about 1450 B.C. It's a mobile tent, as we would call it today, with portable furniture that the people traveled with and set up wherever they pitched camp. The tabernacle would be in the center of the camp, and the 12 tribes of Israel would set up their tents around it according to tribe. The instruction on how to build the tabernacle was first given to Moses in the wilderness, who then gave the orders to the Israelites. Exodus 25 and verse 8 says, "Make a sanctuary for me, and I will dwell among them." Exodus 27 in particular is about the first piece of furniture. As you came in the gate and came in to that tabernacle, the first thing you would encounter was the brazen altar. And the brazen altar, or bronze as we would call it, or altar of sacrifice, was situated right inside the courtyard upon entering the gate to the tabernacle. The Hebrew root for this altar word means to slay or to slaughter. The Latin word alta means high. An altar is a high place for sacrifice. The altar stood raised on a mound of earth higher than all the surrounding furniture. This is a projection of Christ, our sacrifice, lifted up on the cross. His altar, which stood on a hill called Golgotha, or the place of the skull. The altar was made of wood. Oh, by the way, I wanted to just stop here. I'm going too fast. There's just too much to grasp in such short time, and I want to stop being time conscious for just a little while. You know, Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me." We're not just talking about lifting Him up in our worship and lifting Him up in our testimony as we magnify Him. We're talking about the death that He would die, the sacrificial offering that He would make for our sins upon that cross. That message of Jesus and Him crucified, lifted up from the earth, suspended on a cross that became, in the very consummation of this brazen altar, this wonderful gift of Himself and His own life to suffer and die in our behalf, would be a message that would be so compelling, so powerful, so convicting, oh, that it would draw men to Him. When Jesus and Him crucified is preached, it is the centerpiece of the good news. The bad news is, as I said, we've all sinned, every one of us. There's none righteous, no, not one. And that none of us can pay our own sin debt. The good news is God has provided a way for our sins to be forgiven and for us to be justified in His sight without violating His own holy obligation to judge sin. That's why there had to be a victim who was punished. And that's why God instituted a sacrificial system where an innocent, the lamb couldn't be any lamb. It had to be a particular lamb that was offered for the sins of the people. And it had to be a lamb without spot and without blemish. Jesus was the only perfect man. He is the only one of the human race that could have absolute sinless a character and nature. He was God incarnate. That's how He was able to pull this off. Nobody else could do it. There's none righteous, not Abraham, not Isaac, nobody in the New Testament, nobody in our families, nobody was pure enough, perfect enough, except Jesus. He was the only absolutely pure, sinless one, tempted, the Bible said, in all points as we are, yet without sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I want you to know that when His blood was shed on that cross, it was the consummation of all of the Old Testament sacrificial system. Amen. And He was the epitome, the personification of the brazen altar where the sin sacrifice was offered, where the innocent died so the guilty could go free. This is a powerful representation of grace and glory at the cross. You know, I'm talking about the symbol of Christianity around the world, the cross. And yet I'm talking about it in triumph. I'm not talking about it as a place of defeat. I see beauty where normally there would be an aversion to what they did to this man. We see the sanitized version in little pictures and artist renderings. If an artist rendered the true reality of a man beaten as bad as he was, battered and bloodied before he ever got to the cross, it would be appalling. It would be something that our children shouldn't look at because the imagery would imprint them. It would be something that would literally make us feel sick and queasy at our stomach. And yet, there is a beauty in the fact that God would love us this much, to suffer this much, that He might save you and that He might save me. Oh, we're lifting Him up today as we speak of this subject, this great subject of the cross in that tabernacle. The cross represented in foreshadowing type by the brazen altar. Oh, friend of mine, yeah, I'm so glad today to be able to bring some good news to a world that is absolutely staggering under the terrible events that seem to occur over and over and over, day in and day out. We're hearing nothing but fearful things, fretful things, things to take our peace and tear out all hope within us. But I want you to know there's hope for every man, woman, boy, and girl that is listening to this broadcast today, because God has established a sacrificial system so that man who has sinned and come short of His glory can be restored. Hallelujah, can be accepted in Jesus Christ today and given not only the hope of heaven for eternity, but the hope of help right here and right now. Not just in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty here and now. God can become your Heavenly Father, and He can give you grace. He can give you mercy. He can deliver you. He can heal you. He can help you to cope with living in a faulty body in a fallen world, and yet have His peace, have His grace, have His love, have His joy. Amen. This is not a put-on thing. This is something that is very, very real today. Amen. The brazen altar was situated as the first piece of furniture. The altar was the place for burning animal sacrifices. It showed the Israelites that the first step for sinful man to approach a holy God was to be cleansed by the blood of an innocent creature. For a sin offering, a person had to bring an animal, a male one without blemish or defect, from the flock or herd to the priest at the tabernacle gate. Leviticus 1 and verse 4 says he is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering, and it will be accepted on his behalf to make an atonement for sin. By laying his hand upon the head of the offering, the person was identifying with the sacrifice. His sin and guilt was being removed from himself to the animal. The priest would then slaughter the animal, sprinkle its blood in front of the veil of the holy place, burn the sacrifice, and pour the rest of it at the bottom of the altar. Blood is a significant agent of atonement, literally a covering for sin. And the scripture said, and I'm just going to give you two real quick, Leviticus 17:11, for the life of a creature is in the blood, and I have given it to you to make atonement for yourselves at the altar. It is the blood that makes atonement for one's life. The law required that nearly everything be cleansed with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That is not my quote. That is Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 22. Amen. There is over and over in the New Testament that only the blood of Christ can atone for our sin. The Bible said in Mark 14:24, Jesus speaking, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many." In 1 Peter 1:18 and 19 says that you know that you were not redeemed with the corruptible things as silver and gold, but you were redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Literally in Hebrews chapter 9, 13 and 14, it says the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled upon those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them, so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then shall the blood of Christ, through whom the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God. Amen. The Bible said we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by one sacrifice he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer a need for a sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10:10, 14 and 18. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God hath made him, Jesus, who had no sin, to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm about to get excited. No, I'm past that. I am excited today. And I don't make any apology for that, because this is something to get excited about. Our sins have been forgiven because of the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ in our behalf at an old rugged cross. Hallelujah. No wonder so many people have come to know him and would give their life for him today if it came to it. Why? Because he has laid down his life for us, and we have a relationship with him, hallelujah, of a standing that none of us, even the best of us, could achieve in and of ourselves. We are saved today because of what Jesus did for us at the cross. Historically, I want to tell you a true story today. For many years, in the marketplace of Rotterdam, Holland, stood an old corner house known as the House of a Thousand Terrors. In the 16th century, King Philip II of Spain ruled over Holland. In his barring of the Dutch, he tortured, maimed, imprisoned, and exiled thousands. When the people rose up in defiance, he sent a Spanish army under the Duke of Alva to put down the rebellion. The city of Rotterdam held out valiantly for some time, then finally fell before the Spanish army. The victors went from house to house, ferreting out the citizens, then slaying them wholesale in their houses. In one house, a group of men, women, and children huddled together, a thousand terrors gripping their hearts as the Spanish soldiers approached. Suddenly, a young man had an idea. He took a young goat belonging to the premises. He killed it, and with a broom, swept its blood under the door of the house. And the blood flowed out from under the door, and it puddled down the steps. Then they waited breathlessly as footsteps approached. Soon the Spaniards were battering at the door. Then he heard one of them say, "Look at the blood running under the door. Come away. The work here has already been done." They assumed someone had already come to that house, killed the occupants, and they were anxious to get on with their bloody business. Friend, I want to make a statement here today. Because of what Jesus has done at the cross, and because of what His blood has accomplished in our behalf, we can rest assured that the work is done concerning us. God's wrath has been fully satisfied when Jesus suffered for you and suffered for me upon that cross. Hallelujah. Amen. And today we can go free from not only the guilt of sin and the power of sin to rule our life, but we can be free from the judgment to come. We don't have to fear the day that we will stand before the throne of God, because we will stand as His children, redeemed by the blood of His own Son. Hallelujah. Not having our own righteousness, which comes by having to keep the law perfectly, but the righteousness which is of God by Jesus Christ. Only through what He has done and our trust in Him as our Savior can that blood be applied and that righteousness achieved today. But if you come to the Lord today, you know you can do that before this broadcast is over. You can come to Christ right where you are, just as I am. It's one of my favorite altar call themes and songs. Just as I am, without one plea, but that Thy blood was shed for me, and that Thou bidst me come to Thee. O Lamb of God, I come. I'm going to give you an opportunity today to come to Jesus just like you are, right where you are. The blood has been shed. The sacrifice has been offered. It's been accepted. And we can go free today. Would you pray right where you are? Would you pray in your own heart? Lord Jesus, thank You for going to the cross for me. Thank You, the innocent one, the sinless one, for suffering and dying, for letting them kill You the way they did, so that my sins could be forgiven and I could go free. I repent of my sins. Come into my heart. Save my soul. Seal me with the Holy Spirit and write my name down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Today, you say, "Brother Venable, that's too simple." There's nothing simple about what He did at Calvary, but He offers it in gift form to you and to me. Because He doesn't will that any perish, but that all have eternal life. If you're a Christian today, love Him back. Stand in your standing at the foot of the cross and love Him back for loving you this much. Well, our time is gone. Come back next week, will you? And let's talk about Jesus.
That became our mistake.